Hi, I'm Larry Messrenner with Fox NASCAR, and you're listening to On the Road with Dane Neal, WGN Radio.
720 WGN On the Road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. And on the line with us now, we've got legendary crew chief for multi-championships in the Cup Series for NASCAR. He is one of the, I think, ultimate sources for information, advice, and guidance, whether you're a driver or a viewer on those great Fox broadcasts for NASCAR, the one and only Larry McReynolds. Larry, welcome back to WGN.
Oh, I appreciate you having me, Dane. Hope you're doing well.
I am doing well, and we're going to be doing a lot better this weekend. Exciting stuff as we get ready for another trip back to the legendary home of NASCAR in Daytona. So, I mean, I know that NBC has kind of picked up the broadcast stuff, and so you guys have successfully finished your first half of it. But how close do you stay within the races even after you're done with your broadcasting obligations?
Yeah, it's hard to believe we just finished up our 17th season of NASCAR on Fox. Of course, it ended at Sonoma last week at the road course, and we're sitting right on top of being halfway through 2017. The boys and girls at NBC Sports, they pick up the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series as well as the Xfinity Series starting with Daytona this week. Now, Fox and FS1, they still have the truck broadcast, which I'm not a part of, but it goes all the way through Homestead. My travel dissipates a little bit, but my workload continues. I still do the Race Hub show on FS1, 6 p.m. Eastern, normally Monday through Thursday, depending on what day stuff starts at the racetrack. I normally am Monday or Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern. And then whatever day the race is on, like this weekend on Saturday from Daytona, I'm on FS1 from the studio here in Charlotte. We do a pre-race show called Race Day. And then we do a post-race show, Victory Lane. So the travel is a little less, but the workload and staying on top of the sport, that really doesn't change, even though NBC's taken over now.
Yeah, no, of course, people still want to get their heaping helping of Larry McReynolds and all the insight. When it comes to the tracks, we've talked a lot of times about the tracks are as big a stars as a lot of times the driver. I don't know if there's any bigger star than Daytona. So from the crew chief and the team perspective and the driver perspective, how does it change? I mean, this isn't the Daytona 500, but it's still one of those kind of marquee races. And do you guys look at it and prepare a little bit different, maybe even psychologically?
Well, it's still a race, and you still want to win. And I think, you know, if you're in Formula One, you want to win at Monaco. If you're in IndyCar, you want to win at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And if you're in NASCAR, you want to win at Daytona. I never won a race in July at Daytona. I was fortunate enough to win twice there in the Daytona 500 in 1992 with Davey Allison and then 1998 with Dale Earnhardt Sr. So the preparation is probably only different because it's a different type of a track in July versus February. In February, it's much cooler. You haven't had that hot summer sun beating down on it, so the track has a little more grip. When we go back there in July, even though it's a Saturday night race and it's a little cooler, the track is warmer. The track temp is up, and it just doesn't have as much grip, and you have to work a little more on the handling of the race car and making adjustments on every time that car comes to pit road for a pit stop. So the characteristics of the race car is the biggest thing that's different when you go back there in July versus February.
On the crew chief side of things, you know, you're trying to do everything you can to get everybody kind of in the right frame of mind, motivated, and then make those changes and adjustments during the race, you know, or kind of stick to the plan or adjust it if you have to. But one of the things that does happen in the world of racing with everything going great, if the driver's going great, I'm sure you've had it happen to you so many times, is that, you know, the equipment breaks down, right? And you've got to fix things, you've got to work, because those shops, you guys, you know, unlike, let's say, the NFL or baseball or other sports, you're producing the thing, the actual instruments of the sport, right? You're building those race cars week in and week out. I know you wanted to talk a little bit about some cool new tech things in the power tool world. I'm assuming, you know, back in the day, you guys used a lot of the same stuff. Maybe are there new things out there that you want to share with the listeners?
Yeah, you know, 18 years as a crew chief, Dane, I had to focus on a lot of things about that race team, the race car, race procedure. It was endless. But two things that I tried to keep my biggest eyeball on was the fact of the design of the race car and the power that the engines was making and how we were getting that power to the racetrack. And that's one of many reasons that I've teamed up with the good folks at Husqvarna Outdoor Power Tools, because what I've learned about them over time is they understand the importance of having a powerful engine, and they basically do all their design work around their outdoor power tools on how they know the consumer is going to need to use them. One of the things about race car design, a big focus was weight distribution. You never quit focusing on that. That had a lot to do with how the car was going to handle. And contrary to what you might believe, it's kind of the same for the tools you use around your house, around your yard. And they've, Husqvarna, they've developed this backpack leaf blower. And with the technology they've implemented, it has three levels of adjustable heights. That way the weight's kind of evenly distributed even while you're doing the work, and can help you not feel the workload as much if you do it for long periods of time. And then we're always looking for more power, just like with those restrictor plate engines this week at Daytona. So they've worked with a scallop design on the fan of the blower, and it generates roughly about 10% more airflow. And I don't know if anybody turns their nose up to more power or more airflow on a leaf blower. The worst thing you can hear over the radio from your driver when you're a crew chief is, I've got a bad vibration, especially at a place like Daytona this weekend where you're running speeds over 190 miles per hour. And, I mean, it's a long-term problem. And, honestly, landscapers, they deal with the same issues with outdoor equipment. Think about going out and using a leaf blower or something like that, and you've been using it for about 30 or 40 minutes, your hands are numb.
Yeah.
You can't even feel your hands because of vibration. Well, Husqvarna, they've developed so many different things like the anti-vibration technology system. They've developed adjustable handles, rubberized coating for a better grip. It's like racing. It's those little details that make the difference. There's no big chunks anymore. It's all about little details. And then when you think about NASCAR racing, one thing that just continues to change daily is the engineering. It's the technology. And Husqvarna, they've been here since 1689. And for over 300 years, one of their big focuses, it's been new technology. It's being innovative. And their latest product, it definitely shows that innovation is number one on their list. It's a robotic lawnmower. It's called the Automower.
What?
It's a huge example of just how technology is changing, even in the outdoor world of outdoor power tools. And how this thing works, Dane, it uses a boundary wire loop that's a lot like the invisible fence concept that you use to keep your pet contained in your yard. It learns the yard's terrain, and then it'll even handle up to about a 45-degree slope. And then here's the good thing. When it's done with its job, it just quietly makes its way back to its home base, which is actually the charging station.
Oh, my gosh. Larry, first off, I know that all of our listeners, well, 99.9% of our listeners are more likely to find themselves working in their yard, doing some yard work than they will on the track at Daytona International Speedway. So you've got that. I love that. In fact, this, I've got a story along with this. During the summers in college, I actually had a pretty decent landscaping company, and we used Husqvarna leaf blowers and blowers to like blow the grass off the sidewalks and things like that. We did that in our summers at college, and there was nothing better. I got to tell you, it is the gold standard for something. Maybe, as people may not get super excited about leaf blowers, but you want to get excited about getting stuff done. So all that means a lot to me. I love the way that you built it in to a lot of the racing side of it. So how tempted were you, Larry McReynolds, and letting the listeners know we're talking with legendary NASCAR crew chief and Fox analyst Larry McReynolds, is how tempted were you, because you're always there giving advice to the drivers and the teams to talk to them a little bit about the aero package on this robotic mower, maybe got to make some adjustments in there from the crew chief side?
Well, one thing about it, it has a good, nice lower center of gravity. So we know it's going to handle well as do a nice job mowing your lawn. So we're always looking for center of gravity and low weight. And, I talked about that leaf blower having the adjustable height to where that weight's distributed evenly. It's one of many things that Husqvarna does, which makes Husqvarna a lot like Larry McReynolds. They embrace change. And Robert Yates, longtime owner that I worked for in the Cup Series, Robert taught me, a person or a group of people that embrace change, even though you may be a little leery of it, that's the group that will prevail. And that's one theory I've tried to stick with. And it appears to me, working with the good folks at Husqvarna, they kind of live by that same philosophy.
Yeah, things are going to change. You got to embrace change. One thing that will not change is Larry McReynolds is good TV and great racing insights, and also little insights for your lawn care as well. We're going to put the Husqvarna website up on WGNradio.com so people can check in and get in there and hopefully maybe make a suggestion, get their purchases, find out what's available, make a suggestion for the Larry McReynolds signature leaf blower, which I think should be just around the corner. And Larry, for you, people want to catch up with you on social media. You mentioned some of the shows. We love all of those shows. But if you want to share some of your social media stuff so people can keep up with your adventures.
Yeah, you mentioned LarryMcReynolds.com, but the biggest way I try to interact with fans, especially during the race weekend, and I try to answer as many questions myself as I can, you can follow me on Twitter, at LarryMac28. That's at LarryMac28. I really enjoy feedback and comments and even questions, and I try to answer them. And then if you go back to the products I've been speaking about, you can check out HusqvarnaDotCom. And remember the spelling, a little unique, HusQvarna, Husqvarna.com. And a lot like me, I want to go down to the retail store. I want to look for power tools myself, and I'm looking for things I know everybody else is looking for, dependability. I'm looking for power. The way I would advise you on that is just make sure you're getting a product that at least has the Husqvarna engine as a part of it.
Well, Larry, thanks so much for the advice. I know the listeners appreciate it as well. Before we let you go, last thing, any prediction for race night there in Daytona coming up?
Well, that's what's interesting about restrictor plate racing at Daytona or Talladega. It's the equalizer. You look at some of the surprise winners that we have had at Daytona. Go back to David Ragan a few years ago. I think it was 2011, driving that six car for Roush Fenway Racing. There's a good chance we're going to run 160 laps, 400 miles on Saturday night, and we're probably not going to know who can or will win that race until the last corner of the last lap with the checkered flag waving. Go back to the Daytona 500 in February. We had four different leaders in the last four laps of the Daytona 500. So I will say this, I would keep a close watch with any driver that has a blue Ford Oval. They have won our last five restrictor plate races, including Kurt Busch, who won the Daytona 500 back in February for Stuart Haas Racing, their first race at the racetrack with the Ford Blue Oval.
Well, we're going to keep our eyes peeled for that. Good advice, and we'll watch the race on NBC. But before and after post-race and the pre-race show, we'll check it out with Larry Mac. Larry, thanks so much for what you're doing. Have a great weekend, and thanks for being on the show today.
Oh, thank you for having me, and happy 4th of July to you, Dane, and all the listeners out there.